welcome to Shh, We're Reading Dirty Books. This is Kalina.
And this is Saylet.
And this is a podcast for people who love paranormal romance novels.
And people who like to listen to us talk about paranormal romance
novels. It's really a podcast for people who just like to listen to us. And actually, they might just enjoy us talking about bullshit.
It may.
That's also a big chunk of the podcast.
I have heard from, you know, a couple people that are like, you guys are so much fun to listen to because it seems like, it feels like I'm in the same room as you guys and in the conversation. And that's great. I think that's awesome.
That's just basically podcast.
Sure. It's awesome.
It feels like you have friends.
I know.
So if you're a real lonely hermit like me, you just listen to podcasts. You're like, look at all my friends that are sitting around me having a conversation I can't participate in.
We are so friendly, though. So if you guys want to reach out to us, please do.
You can really be our friend.
Yeah, like real friends. We'll hold hands on the internet. Just kidding, we won't.
Internet hands.
Hey, people, I've got a cold, if that's not a big fucking surprise. Yeah. So just excuse all the noises you're going to hear from me in the background more than usual.
That and the upstairs neighbors have been particularly rambunctious tonight.
I think they're doing acrobats up there, like acrobatics.
I think it's a circus troupe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah.
Circus troupe moved in upstairs. Full with elephants.
Yeah.
And tigers.
Even though they got rid of the elephants, these guys didn't.
Yeah. This is no Barnum. This is or Wrigley Brothers or whichever one
Barnum
still
exists. Barnum and Bailey, I think, got rid of the elephants.
Okay.
I don't know.
Whichever. It's not them.
It's...
So, if you hear them, yeah, that's just what happens when you are a condo owner and you have to share walls with people.
Yep.
People above you.
It is.
Make noise.
So, anyway, presenting our Klitz notes of the episode
is
Kalina.
We only remember that like three times.
I know. We're going to try. We're so bad. And that's so brilliant,
it
too.
It is such a good name for Klitz that segment. Notes. Klitz notes. Okay.
Klitz notes.
So, today, or, you know, this week, or whatever, we actually read two books, i.e. listened to two books in our Audible account. We did Claimed by Her Cougar and Captured by Her Cougar, which are book one and two in the Cougar Creek series by Felicity Heaton, narrated by Eric G. Dove. So they were quick, short. This is like a sub-series of a bigger series by Felicity. She has this whole world of Shifter World, and I don't know what the overall series is called. Sorry.
Hold on. There you go.
But yeah, I don't know what the over... Wow, that got really loud.
No, that's what I need. I need waves.
Okay. I don't know what the overall world is called, but so she took this world, and so these are just like a small subset of characters. Then this is going to be a four-part series, just a quick, you know, side stories or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they're cougars. I think maybe that came through in the title. These are cougar shifters. This is a group of them, brothers mostly, I think, mm-hmm. is what we're going to be dealing with. And we're introduced to, in the first book, Wrath. He lives on the out in the Canadian wilderness where he maintains the cabins for the Cougar Clan, Cougar Troop.
Clan.
Pride.
Oh, Pride.
Mm, Pride.
We'll go with Pride.
Nice. Yeah. They're cats. We'll go with Pride. So cougars apparently are mostly solitary. They don't hang out in giant packs like, or prides, I guess, like lions.
I think we should just call everything flocks. Because we did that for the vampires a couple of episodes ago, and I fucking love it. So I think that every group of whatever supernatural creature we've got is going to be a fucking flock.
It's a flock of cougars.
It's a flock of cougars.
It's a flock of cougar shifters that live in the Canadian Rockies.
Yes.
Okay. So he lives there year-round and maintains the cabins. And sounds like maybe yearly,
mm-hmm.
all of the cougars come back for like a mating thing.
Big fuck fest.
There's a big fuck fest.
Where it is.
All of the single females are ready to just get down and
yep.
the men come back to town just to fight and fuck.
Just to
and
go
then
to
they
town.
All go their separate ways at the end.
Yeah,
They move on.
Big orgy.
So he's getting the cabins ready, and all of a sudden this fucking human wanders onto his property. Fucking taking pictures and shit. What I the know. Hell? So we're introduced to Ivy, and the first book is about Ivy and Wrath and their budding romance and eventual mating.
Yes.
Sorry. I don't know why that's funny. And then book two, it's Daniela and Storm. No?
Gabriella.
Gabriella. Look, I have Gabriella written on the paper.
It's used Daniela.
I looked at it and I went, no, that's no, not her name.
Not her. Sorry.
Gabriella. I almost said Daniela again. I don't know. Whatever her fucking name is. Gabby. I'll go by Gabby. Gabby and Storm. Yeah, she... He's a brother to Wrath, and she is the half-sister of their mortal enemy who killed their family.
Yeah, who gets killed in the first book.
He gets killed in the first book. He shows up. Alexander shows up.
With Gabriella. Yes. In a helicopter.
In a helicopter. Anyway, that's all whatever. That's not really what the books are about.
No.
Plot is very secondary to the overall purpose of the books, which is really good sex scenes.
Really, really good sex scenes. Oh, yeah.
We don't need no character development. We don't need fucking plot.
World building.
Dialogue? Go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, we definitely do not need good dialogue.
All we fucking need. Hell, I don't think Wrath even speaks. He grunts.
He just. Oh, my God. I've never, in any of the books that we've read, met a character that grunts so much. Like all the fucking time he had something to grunt or growl about.
Yep.
That was all he did.
Well, he's a cougar.
Yeah,
you know,
Storm did it too.
Yeah, they just
grunt and growl. But you're right, the sex was fucking good, people.
That's the whole point. It was like, hey, I got some good sex scenes written and I don't want to worry about that's exactly what else. It was
like, straight up, these books were just made to introduce the sex scenes to us and then build out very
these are porn. Yes. There's no fucking plot to porn.
It was written like porn too. Like, I'm sorry, but the dialogue was shit. Like, it just was not written very well.
It was terrible.
But the sex is great. So if you want to just, you know, read a book just to get off, read this one.
Yeah.
Or listen to this one. Because it was only 4 hours long each.
Yeah, that's what we did too. Because we felt real guilty, like we were somehow cheating you guys if we only listened to a book that was 4 hours long.
Plus then we'd have like a 20-minute podcast about one book and then we'd be like, well.
I feel as if we could have stretched that.
Dude, we probably could have done all fucking 4 books because this is a 4-book series.
Yeah, the other two weren't out yet though.
Oh, well,
if they were out, I would have fucking said it. I would have been like, listen up, we're gonna really push through and we're gonna listen to all 4 books in once.
That explains it.
But they're not available yet.
All right.
These ones just came out in like July and August.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fairly new.
No, like this year.
Really new.
Last year for you guys. 2018. In our world, this year. So anyway, I don't need to spend any more time on the plot.
No.
Because that's it.
That's really it.
People, boy meets girl. Boys are cougar shifters. Fall in love with girls. Girls are fated mates, and boy and girl mate.
Yeah.
That's it.
Within a span of like 2 days.
They like to pretend it was a couple of weeks, but I called bullshit in book two when she said that was a couple weeks later. I was like, no, it's fucking not. This literally happened in the span of 5 days from start to finish.
The sex between Storm and Gabriella was definitely better than the sex between Wrath and Ivy, I think. Because I think that there was more tension between the two.
There was definitely tension, because the only existing personality of Storm and Gabriella is antagonism towards each other.
Yeah.
And wishing to fight with each other.
Pretty much.
That was their entire interaction and dialogue, was snarky, attacky comments.
Yeah, they just didn't get along.
She called him a man whore a lot.
I know, and he took offense to it.
Yeah, I'm not a man whore. There's some weird rule, I don't understand this rule at all, that why the four brothers don't participate in the fuck fest of the cougar town.
I don't understand half
the cougar flock.
Is it because they are the protectors, the leaders? Why don't they,
Well, they're not leaders. They protect the land. You know, Wrath stays there and maintains the property.
Mm-hmm.
And since the attack by Archangel 50 years ago that killed a bunch of the cougars. They are now the protectors. I get that, but that does not make sense. So for 50 years, these three brothers have been in their sexual prime and not had sex with any of the cougar women during Cougar Fuckfest. That's nonsense.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't get to participate in that. I don't understand. It's got to be something about, because it's maybe they are the protectors of the flock or the head of the flock. Or,
but it feels like they could take turns.
Sure.
Like, 1 year, the two oldest brothers don't fuck and they fight and protect. Because they're supposed to, like, stop any of the cougar fights that are not about females.
Right.
So if the cougars start fighting over women, that's cool. You let them fight it out. But if the men start fighting over just bullshit, you gotta stop it. Don't let the cougars fight them. It's just, I don't know why I got bogged down in this particular detail all of a sudden. Yeah.
But No. It makes sense because that just means that, like, the rest of the cougars that are in the flock.
Excuse I love me. That we're just going to call it a flock.
We're calling everything flock because it's awesome. So, like, the rest of the flock is to find their true mates, but then the brothers don't? Like, what if a cougar comes in and Annabella falls in love with Wrath and, like, she's the mated? Like, then he should have every right to be in the Fuckfest.
I really think that Fuckfest should be for all. I don't think we should. Now I'm just trying to say shit. That sounds ridiculous. Because I want that to be our soundbite.
Equality. Equality is fuckfesting.
Fuckfest for all. Stop segregation.
Leaders can fuck too.
It just feels like bad planning.
No,
because sure. Again, okay. The way I'm understanding this world is this is not particularly about finding your mates. Mm-hmm. This is just about when they're at their sexual peak producing more cougars. Doesn't have to be within mated pairs. So if these are your strongest men, if this family is your protective men, why the hell don't you want them to have offspring, bitches?
Yes.
Like, I would be like that. That's why in the beginning, well, that one family's family trying to...
family comes in and then they're like, we need you to bone our daughter because you have...
Well, none of those words get said because that'd be more dialogue than existed in that entire book.
That is pretty much what they want.
We were led to believe one of the cougar moms wanted Wrath to bone her daughter.
Yeah, or mate. I think they wanted them to be the mates lifelong.
Well, you're reading a lot into very little information.
That's what I felt. I just felt like that because even she was just like, dude, I don't want this to happen. He was like, it's not gonna fucking happen. Especially now that he found Ivy, but I don't know. Maybe yeah. I did.
There was a lot of focus. I'm taking a turn now. This is moving on. There's a lot of focus for a very, very short book, short on a lot of detail and information on what these women wore.
Yeah.
Ivy wore all muted earth tone colors and a lot of maroon, which is not earth tone. That was her ode to non-earth tone with her maroon sweater. But we got descriptions a lot on what Ivy was wearing. And then, what we should say about Gabrielle, what I didn't say in the Klitz notes is she was captured. That's why the title Captured by Her Cougar for book two. So she and her brother, she and her half-brother show up. He's trying to kill all the cougars because they killed his father when his father came to town or came to their camp and killed them. It's a very bloody, almost Romeo and Juliet type situation. Yeah. And so she flew the helicopter wearing a pencil skirt and a jacket. And a button-up shirt, like, top. And they killed Alexander and all of the guys with him, all the guys with guns. And then they captured her and put her in a cabin, Storm's cabin. And so she's a prisoner of war.
This is just, it's silly. It's silly.
It is silly, but unfortunately, it wasn't the level of silly that I wanted. Like, right. It didn't own it silly. It, like, was too serious about it.
I think we're trying to make it sillier than it is.
Oh, sure. This book's dead serious about this shit. And we're not taking it seriously because it's a lot more fun to take it not seriously and be like, that's absurd. A bear shifter tried to carry Gabriella off just because he found her in the woods. What the fuck is that? Is that what bears do? Do they just carry off lone women that they find running through the woods barefoot.
I know. I was just, when I heard that part, I was just like, why couldn't he have been, like, a really nice bear?
I feel like he should have been a nice bear. There's like, no need to just, like...
Right. Why does he have to be combative all of a sudden? Like, we don't need another fucking fight scene. Although,
we that had was... to because there's a formula.
Yes, there wasn't.
If we don't have the formula... Okay, here's the formula. Guy and girl meet. Guy and girl have, like, fightsy, argument-y things for a couple of, like, a day and a half. Mm-hmm. They fuck. And then girl gets sad and runs off for some fucking reason. That always happens.
Always.
And then there's a fight. Either she runs off and finds a random bear wandering through the woods who tries to carry her away. And then her lover has to fight for her and prove that he still does really love her. And this wasn't some overall trick or something.
Yeah.
Or she runs away and finds her sponsor who's tracked her using her backpack that he slipped a tracking device into. Mm-hmm. And then her lover now has to fight him and all their guns. But in the end, man gets hurt. Boy gets injured.
Yes.
And girl nurses injured boy back to health, and then they fuck again.
To a fucking T. That is what both the books
they
did.
They were timed, too.
Oh, yeah.
If you looked at the time marks when the first sex scene happens, it is almost identical time spots in the book.
No, that was brilliant. If that was the marks that we were supposed to meet, or that she was meant to meet for each of the books.
She fucking hit him.
You fucking got him right on time, girl. That was awesome. Can we talk about Eric?
No. Who?
The narrator.
Yes.
Speaking of.
We can.
Timing in the book. Well, I would really appreciate it if he read a different type of book.
That's it. So, in the past, we've had fantastic narrators.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had narrators we have hated. Jim Frangione comes to mind. Sorry, Jim. We're not a fan. There's nothing really wrong with Eric. Mm-mm. You know, he reads it well. He has different voices. What he does not have is emotion. If he were reading to me the history of the Spanish flu, I think it would be fascinating. He should read a historical nonfiction book. Or just maybe any nonfiction. I don't think it has to be historical.
Stocks.
Tell me the stock market.
Real estate. Something.
Pick. He's just not suited to this genre. In particular, romance.
Sure.
Because it started to get real weird. His complete deadpan, straight-faced voice during the sex scenes.
Totally.
Because I'm like, he's not excited at all, and he's reading a lot of stuff about dick. And
the sex scenes were hot. Like, if we were just to read this and have our internal monologues going on, it would have been much sexier. The scenes were still really good. But I read or I listened to this book with a flaccid penis that was just sort of semi-hard. Like, because it was just like, oh, this is really good. But I was like, it's just not quite there. I couldn't. There's no sexiness in his voice.
No, but not even sexiness. There's just no, like, the fight scenes didn't emote. Emote through any of them. He was reading the words, which is fine.
Robotic is the word I think of.
Yep.
Very monotone.
He's not a bad narrator.
Right.
He just needs a different genre.
Yes.
And I have plenty of books in that genre that I would be fine listening to him read. And I'm just like, just not these.
Yeah.
Because when you're reading a sex scene, I need to kind of hear it in your voice.
Totally.
And so, yeah, I would actually, like, be interested to pick up like an ebook of this and just read the sex scene to myself, and because I'm sure it'd be better.
Oh, sure.
I'd be like, damn, this book is good. Sex scenes are fantastic.
It was easy for us to tell the difference between the characters. He did really good with the changes. And it's always hard for a male narrator to do the women.
Their women tend to be
caricatures
of how women actually sound.
Totally. But,
the same goes both ways. It's not like a lot of our women narrators do great men. They do some characterization of what a man sounds like.
Sure.
They don't sound like men.
But I also, I don't know, maybe this is just a double standard or whatever, but I feel like there's more of an effort that a male narrator has to go to do a female voice. To me, it just feels over-feminized.
If they just, and I think that's what Eric did well, is he didn't over-feminize them. They weren't super girly voices.
They were
Ivy a little bit more than Gabriella. Gabriella had an accent. She was British. There was a little bit of difference there.
Maybe it was how they were written.
I think that. They didn't have any personalities.
They were super sassy. At least Gabby was.
Gabby is very sassy.
That that can lead us into our next topic, which is about, I mean, you have to have a strong character in this book, or at least strong main character. You try to build a strong woman in this book. Ivy and Gabby come off as really strong, but they come off so sassy, especially Gabby. And I'm thinking how I would react if I was in a situation like this. And I could tell you right now that I would not be like either one of them. I couldn't. I don't think I could be. I would be crying all the time. I'd be scared shitless. I also wouldn't be wandering through the woods or following my half-brother in a helicopter through Canada.
Yeah. No, I can see. I could put myself easier in the shoes of Ivy. Like, okay, I went camping and I wandered off and I ran into this man who was scary. Do I continue to try to talk to him or do I go, peace out, bitch, and run away?
No kidding. I feel
like a scary dude who just grunts at me for the first half of a day that we're together. I'm going to leave him alone.
Who's giving me an out to leave?
Yeah, he wants you to leave.
He wants me to. Okay, sorry to bother you. I'll stop taking pictures and skedaddle on my way fucking out.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure you can go find bears elsewhere. I don't think they only live next to cougars.
Sure.
But at least in Ivy's position, let's say we could come up with a good excuse for why you stayed. Let's say pictures were life or death for you. You okay. have to stay and get the photograph of the bear or you die. Okay, we're going to put the stakes really high. Stakes are high now, so you got to stay. I feel like I'm in Ivy's position. That's the time I'm a little bit more snarky and sarcastic with the asshole who won't let me stay at the fucking creek that he doesn't even own to take pictures.
Sure.
Right? I feel like she has the more leg to stand on, whereas Gabby has been captured. And now is being held hostage in a cabin. They took her shoes and they aren't feeding her. This is when I just cry all day until they let me leave or kill me.
That makes sense.
I don't get real lippy with my captor.
No.
And I don't find him super hot and attractive and try to fuck him all the time.
No.
Because he's kidnapped me and I don't have shoes and he won't feed me and there's no lights and I'm scared and I'm crying. And they killed my half brother, who I don't think I liked anyway.
But still.
But they still killed him.
And they shift into cougars.
Oh, also they turned into cougars.
Also that.
And I didn't know that happened until just like recently. Right. So
yeah, no, her situation is
I feel
like worse.
She even at one point has this whole big inner monologue thing about how she refuses to cry. Like she was gonna break down, but then she says, no, I can be strong. I'm not gonna let them see that. And I'm like, why not? I feel like crying is a good thing.
And it's almost like, I mean, obviously I'm not gonna speak for all men, but I think sometimes when women cry, they just kind of like, and then they just kind of back off a little bit because they don't know how to fucking deal with that. They don't cry themselves. So when someone else cries, they're like, I don't know what to do.
These fucking cougars don't cry.
No, fuck no. They don't cry. They're all big, strong, burly, tough men that, like, fight bears and shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if she cried, he'd have just...
I think Storm would have been a lot nicer to her.
Also, I'd have pointed out a lot more how you weren't feeding me.
Right.
I feel as if that's your, like, hey, asshole, you keep asking me fucking questions. You want me to talk. Where's my goddamn food, bitch?
I have no energy.
She, like, slept all day for, like, 3 days. Mm-hmm. Did no one notice that was weird? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you aren't feeding her, asshole.
And she fucking coveted his cabin. That was weird.
At one point, she declared it all hers.
She's like, this is all mine. This is all my cabin now. It's not yours anymore. It was like...
That's very good accent. Oh, sorry. I was very impressed.
Well, thank you.
I would never even try.
But she was, I mean, like, sassy, sassy, sassy. And he was just like,
she stole all his beers and drank them.
Yes!
Like, out of his hand.
And all he did was grunt. That's all he did was grunt.
God,
he just grunted at her and, like, left the cabin and went to go talk to Wrath.
Yeah.
Oh, and then when she needed to confide in somebody, obviously she knew Ivy from before. They were friends. But all of a sudden, Ivy is like the expert in cougars.
She's been there 2 days.
She knows everything.
She didn't know about cougars either.
I made it this one 2 days ago. We're lifetime partners. I know everything about it. I know everything that you need to know. Confide in me. I call bullshit on that. I was like, how does that work?
Well, it's kind of like how Anya starts talking to Danica and... In the
Lords of the
Lords of the Underworld books, because she's been there all of like a month.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's okay, Danica. I'll tell you how it goes.
Expert.
And I'm like, okay, now we're going to get into this. I want to bring up just because I love it.
Okay.
This is unfair, and I acknowledge that I shouldn't be picking up on this book with this option. But because first off, the book is only 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't meant to really be detailed about extraneous information.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain times where they give you some and then drop it. Just let it fucking drop. Yeah. And now I'm worried about it. So I'm like, well, don't tell me that if you're never going to bring it up again. I.e., Ivy's Jeep.
Yeah.
So she is on a photographing mission. She's a photographer. She's gone into the wilderness to photograph bears. People know where she is. She has a friend who's trained her for wilderness survival, like triage, like how to take care of herself if she gets injured in the wilderness by herself. She has checked in. She knows that the land's not owned. She leaves her truck by a ranger station and walks into the woods. She never goes back. She meets a fucking cougar. He says, stay here for life. We're mates now. She goes, yes. And poof. No one ever goes to get her fucking Jeep. She's now a missing person. And let me say, a missing white woman in the fucking forest of Canada. They're going to go find you.
They will.
They're going to try. Look, we live in Colorado. They try to find bitches all the time who get lost in the mountains.
They do.
if people all know that time. You are out there hiking or whatever, and you don't show up, they try to find you.
Yep.
They don't just go, I guess she's lost.
Right? And not only that, but then how does, she not have any friends or family that she could just, walk away from? She's like, yeah, we're mated now. I live here forever. You and I belong to each other. I'm going to live 150 years like you do. Screw it. My mom and dad don't. They don't talk about family?
No, she doesn't have any family. We do know she has one friend.
The one friend that's taught her triage.
Valerie. I don't know if her name's Valerie. Just to kind of
I don't think it was Valerie.
Jasmine?
I think we're gonna not give her a name because I don't remember it.
She had a name.
She did have her name.
It doesn't matter.
Persephone.
It's either Valerie or Jasmine.
It's not Persephone.
It's not Persephone. I would have known that. I'd be like, that's weird.
That's an interesting name. But anyway, to be able to drop or make the decision like that in the drop of a dime. Yeah, we are mated. But you do have other people in your lives. I'm sure you do.
I mean, obviously, being a freelance photographer and living the artistic lifestyle, she probably doesn't. I mean, it's not like she has a 9-to-5 job that's going to be like, where the fuck did she go?
Right.
you can. Women in these books tend to have those kind of jobs mm-hmm. that are kind of like more, do what I want. I take, she runs off to Asia to photograph snow leopards and shit like that. You know, it happens. Yeah. I still feel as if she made a point to tell us about all of the ways she had told people where she was.
Yeah.
And then she just
dropped it.
Didn't show up again. Also, they make a point of telling us, she's got this backpack that Alexander, he was her sponsor. Mm-hmm. He would pay for her trips so she would get these photos of animals. She thought he was using them to save, to raise money to save the wildlife. He was actually using them to hunt.
Track down the
shifters.
Cougars.
Well, all shifters. Hunt shifters and kill them because he hates them. So he gave her this backpack so he could track her because he put a tracking device and a GPS locator in it. And he tells her this at the end of the book and then they kill him and they don't seem to worry that there's a fucking GPS tracker in the backpack with them that just now lives there.
Yeah, Alexander tells them, that's how I found you.
And now,
they don't destroy it.
Dun dun dun. A second white woman is now missing in the same area. Her name is Gabriella. She was on a helicopter with her brother. Oh, they never came back. There are now two missing white women in one area of the mountains. They're gonna go find them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do things differently in Canada.
No. If you're white, you still get found in Canada. They don't care too much for any other ethnicity or races. But that's no different than America, so we're all racist together.
We are.
You shouldn't go getting lost. I don't think you'll be looked for very much.
No, probably not. Well, I don't know. I mean,
well, Dan is white. He might look
Dan
for
is
you.
White. I would hope that somebody would come find me.
I would come find you.
Thank you.
And then if I get lost, they'll definitely come look.
Oh, definitely.
Because I'm white. So they'll be like, oh, now we gotta
white
go
person
look.
Comes and looks for me and gets lost, I think we'll be all right.
Then we'll be fine. No, I'm making light of it. It's a real serious issue.
No, for sure.
White people do get all the news. Sure. People care when white women get murdered, when white women get killed, when white women are missing. They do not care when women of other races are murdered in greater numbers and frequency. It's just not news stories.
Right.
Only pretty blonde white women. So, anyway.
Hashtag, that's fucked up. That's fucked up!
That's our political PSA for the evening. It just felt like I could make a big funny joke about it.
No, I'm
with this particular book, because again, I'm pretty sure that when these two women don't show back up, someone's gonna come looking
for
them.
That is the most true valid point.
Oh, makes... oh, Gabrielle's rich too. I'd throw that one in.
Are they? Is she?
Yeah, they're they fucking flew a helicopter into the middle of the wilderness. That's and he true. Funds photographers. That's right. They're hella wealthy.
They are wealthy.
Right. She was engaged to a banker. What's her banker engaged fiance gonna think about this? Yeah, is he gonna go?
Well, there are two more books, so we can't rule any of that stuff out. All this happened in a span of 2 days, even though they think that it's like 4 weeks. It's not. It's literally 2 days. 2 days. Ivy was day one. Gabriella's day two. So we have two more books. Two more books to make this happen.
That fucking Jeep better come back. That's all I got to say. Don't bring up things that I just... extraneous detail gets stuck in my craw, and then I'm like, where's this gonna come back? Yeah. And then it doesn't, and I'm like, well, there's now an abandoned Jeep next to a ranger station at a wilderness.
You would think the ranger would be out there looking. I mean, because yeah. It's not like
you check in with them before you go wandering into the fucking woods. You go, hey, this is where I'm going. I anticipate 2 to 3 days.
Right.
That's what I've brought in terms of food and preparations.
And there's no magical spell to keep the humans away. Like, it's not like
Harry Potter,
where they...
What was that Turn spell called? That would make the muggles wander off.
I don't know. They did it in the very last one when they were doing their camping
trip. Camping one, but they also did it for the Quidditch World Cup.
And for the castle. The castle has
That's true. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Sad. I don't remember either.
But anyway, so let's get into our kiss and tell.
Yes.
Excuse me. So our kiss and tell for the episode is about what types of sex scenes we like most, which one drives us crazy the most, which one pulls us in the most. The two sex scenes that were in these two books, well, not the two.
There's a lot more.
Yeah, the first of each book were different a little bit. So, I mean, you would probably be better at describing each one of them because you could remember it better than I can. I don't know. I don't know if you want to do that.
Sure. So in book one, Ivy and Rath aren't as antagonistic. It's more that, like, he's gruff and a loner, mm-hmm. and she showed up to take pictures of bears, and he immediately becomes a little bit protective of her. Like, he wants her to go away, but then she's like, I'm just gonna go camp down this way. He's like, no! Because he's afraid that she's gonna either get, you know, attacked by another cougar or bears or something. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, puts her in his room and says, no, you have to stay here. I'll let you stay one more day so you can get your pictures of bears, and then turns into another day and whatever. So there... he's taking care of her. Like, in a way, he, like, she wants to shower and they don't really have showers. Because there's no, it's a fucking cabin in the middle of the woods.
Right.
There's no running water. So he, like, makes a bath for her and then he cooks for her and she helps him with his projects around the cabins. But it's obvious that even though they're still being a little standoffish with each other, but it's more, it's gentler. Mm-hmm. Like, they're definitely starting to kind of feel for each other. They start looking, you know, sideways glances admiringly. Mm-hmm. She catches him without his shirt on down by the river and da, 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 stuff like that. So they finally just are like, I can't deny this anymore, and they attack each other. But it's less aggressive passion and more like tender romance. I mean, it's still very like the urge is still there, you know, because they have to act on it. They just can't keep denying these feelings for each other. But it's a lot more tender. I want to say. I think he's just tender. Like, gentle. Like, he carries her up the stairs and puts her on the bed.
Yeah.
Whereas Storm and Gabby, their whole relationship is, again, antagonistic. They just love to argue with each other. He even picks fights intentionally. She does, too. She's like, I just want to see him get mad.
Yeah.
And that argument eventually one day turns into sex somehow. It was very unclear.
It was very quick. Theirs was just like that. It was almost in an instant where they were just like, I thought they were going to have another fight. And then
They were like yelling at each other. Yeah. And then he was like, no, I'm not going to fall for that. You're not going to get me to let you go by sleeping with me. And she's like, man, whore. And then they fuck. And it's a lot more like combative, aggressive fuck. Yeah. Whereas Rath and Ivy is more like gentle romance, tender fuck, I think.
Yeah, those were good.
There you go.
So we're going to describe, I guess not, and it doesn't have to be in detail, but like, I guess what our preference of sex scenes that we get into the most. And it could be from the books, it could be from movies, it could be from whatever. So Do you have one? Any that you were particularly more drawn to?
I definitely relate more to Storm and Gabby's, I think.
What? No! Never in my whole entire life would I have ever imagined that. Like, no? Like, that's more, okay, it's gotta be more physical, though, because you're not
No, I know, talker. I know. No, so you're right
just
there.
Just, like, throwing punches? Like, what are you doing? This is good. Oh, I like this topic.
Now I don't know anymore. I'm now confused.
Well, to say that you're, like, one type, but to feel a drive towards another type.
There you go. That's it.
It's different, so.
Yeah. See, to me, there's something about Storm and Gabby's that feels relatable.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you're right. I'm not an argumentative person, no, and I don't. Not. Although,
I mean,
every single man I have ever been with is opposing political views. What the fuck does that say about me?
Oh my god,
did
really?
Did you know that? I just put this together recently. This has been it's been in my brain a lot lately,
oh,
but.
Oh. And that's very interesting.
I feel like I don't seek that out.
No.
But somehow it manages to happen.
The universe is.
And I feel like that's a real fuck, mind fuck from the universe. Like the mind fuck.
Sure.
Like, fuck you.
Well,
fuck
especially you. Is how politically passionate you are.
I know. Like, and I'm not quiet about it.
No, you're not. Like, and if there's anything you're not quiet about,
that's
it's
what
fucking
I'm not
that,
fucking
so.
Quiet about. So, but apparently, yes.
Interesting.
Everyone is on the, maybe not 100% opposite, but just sure. Not in the same, full same camp as me.
So does that mean sex is better? Because then it's just
I don't like, think so. I don't think it comes up really you. A lot, but it's just, I feel like maybe that means there's more oppositeness within my relationships than I am even fully surface, like, aware.
Okay.
So maybe that's why I think I'm more, not even attracted to those sex scenes, but sure. Just they resonate more. Maybe
right.
Because
they're more relatable.
Yeah. There's something about them. Well, because I think that even though I feel like I don't have antagonistic combative sex, I must have something, like, I'm not similar to my partners, generally.
Right.
I find a much stronger opposite attraction, like, rule than people who are like, no, it's better to be with someone like you.
Right.
Because there's different theories on it. I've been told that I'm wrong.
I think it's so different for everybody. There's too many people and too many personalities out there in the world that you can't just say it's
That's
one
true.
Way or another.
That's true. No, you can't. But yeah. So yeah, I get a lot out of having a partner who has a lot of differences. Those apparently extend into the political realm, which I'm not a fan of.
That's funny.
I just am like, shit. That just makes sense to me. Yeah. But yes, I don't have antagonistic. But there's a lot in that sex scene that it just so familiar.
Sure.
It's
sure.
Like it was written. In particular, there's this one moment where Gabby's on her back underneath Storm, and he's like slowing things down, and she's like, oh no, that's too emotional, and mm-hmm. she's trying not to be emotional about it and just make it a like a sex thing and not a love thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so she keeps like pushing on his shoulder, and eventually after like three pushes she gets him to roll. Mm-hmm. So now she gets to be on top and take control and like make it her non-emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, I know that move. I do that move a lot. Sometimes it doesn't work, and I don't understand why the non-verbal patting on your shoulder,
shove.
Shifting my hips, doesn't result in the role that I'm attempting to maneuver.
Oh, it's funny.
But it did. I mean, like that, I heard that. It was, you know,
yeah.
He read that out to us, and I was like, no, oh, I know that. I know that. I actually backed up because I was like, did I just hear what I think I heard?
Write this about me.
Because that's, I mean, obviously I'm not the only one who knows that
sure.
move. Sure. But yeah, so I saw that and I was just like, yeah.
But isn't that the type of sex that draws you in, gets you wet? Does it get you crazy? Does it, you know what I mean? Like, is it the fun one that you want to read about?
I do. I think I like that sex, reading about that sex okay. more than the first sex.
Than the lovey-dovey
yeah.
type.
Yeah. Just made a face and Sailor laughed. So obviously,
No, it's. I think if by now they have been following us for however many episodes, 20-something, 7 episodes, if they don't know the differences between our personalities and what we think about sex and love, then, you know, they're laughing along with me because they think, oh, it's Galena. That makes a lot of sense. However.
Yes.
I mean, if, like, for me, it does change. I think it really depends on the type of mood. I think it depends on the couple.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the story. I think it depends on the porn. Like, I think it really depends on what it is. Because there'll be times where it's like, I want to watch cartoons and I'll watch hentai. Or I'll really, really enjoy the sex between, like, Anya and Lucien, who were combative. They were really aggressive and I enjoyed that.
I hated that book.
You did hate that book. But you like the aggressive sex. See, that's what I'm saying. It's hard. It's hard to tell. I think it depends on the characters and stuff, too. But the sex between the badger and the bear was very pleasant.
I love
them. And it was very sweet. And that was good sex, too. So
that's true.
I can tell you the ones that I like to write about.
Okay.
The ones I like to write about are the ones that start off slow, but then get real steamy and get really hot and heavy. Mm-hmm. And then it just turns into fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just starts off, like, with the foreplay and the kissing and the touching and the fingers and all of that. And then it just gets super intense. And that part, you know, like, clothes are ripping off and
mm-hmm.
everything is wet and you're sweaty and shit. And you're just like, bam. And it's just like...
There isn't enough discussion of sweat in during these sex scenes, I think.
There isn't.
It never comes up. And that's
not realistic. Not that shifting cougars are realistic.
That's true.
But, but there isn't enough. And they're...
Sex is sweaty.
So sweaty. It's so...
It's two naked there's bodies. There's
a lot of moisture going on around everywhere.
Yeah.
On your body.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff happening. Yeah. Especially for, I mean, like, you and I run hot.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I know our partners do, too. Well, at least, I don't know about that your partner.
I was like, what do you know
about? You know about. My partner does. Dan does. He definitely runs hot. He tries to cuddle. I'm, like, the only person he likes to. Well, obviously, we're married. But, okay, I'm getting myself into all sorts of trouble right now. He never liked to cuddle before. At least that's what he says. But we'll cuddle for like 2 or 3 minutes because then it's just we've got this sweat and heat buildup.
Cuddle's literally the worst. It is the worst. I hate cuddling.
You are hilarious. You are hilarious.
No, he does not run hot. He runs cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's good. Free, right? No? I don't know.
Would I leave him in bed by himself and I go sleep on the couch? I put a lot of blankets on it and I'm like, there you go.
Know that you leave the bed. He's gotta know by now.
It's been
a year. Oh, it's been 2 years.
I don't know if he knows when. I mean, obviously, he is always alone when he wakes up. But he also doesn't wake up till considerably later, and right. I am usually up for hours and have gone and done many things and come back. Or I've just gone to work. You know?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
I'm like, because I have to go to work on most weekends. So, no, so he... Ian, I don't know. We don't have that conversation. That would require me asking if he's aware. And I don't need to bring it up. So I don't know if he knows when I leave.
Right, right. I think that's still so funny.
Because I try to leave rather early, like as soon as he's asleep.
That's so
funny. I don't sleep.
Yeah,
this
you
is
don't
more
sleep.
About... This isn't about like whether I like cuddling or anything like that. This is more about I don't sleep. I sleep very lightly
mm-hmm.
and I toss and turn all night. And so when I'm in a bed with a person, I'm just hyper aware of mm-hmm. how I am most likely keeping somebody else awake.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who normally sleeps,
right.
Somebody who has a normal sleep pattern and isn't let's not sleep all night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just easier if I leave.
Because right.
then at least they're not lying there trying to be as still as humanly possible, which is impossible. Because the more you try to be still, the more you absolutely have to move.
Sure.
And you're just like, just be still. And then I definitely am not sleeping because I'm just like, ah. And also there's too many covers on the bed. You make them sleep under all the covers and I don't like it.
That is so funny. It's just because I can picture it. I just have got
it is
really good.
I think it might be slightly genetic because Alex and I have this conversation a lot.
Really?
Alex is my brother. He does the same thing to Sarah. To SJ and he leaves. Or now he's built himself a second bed.
I know. That's hilarious.
So that he can just like...
hop on over.
Hop over to his bed now.
And they're like from the 1950s and they have two separate beds.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. But he's like... He's in love with it. He's like, this is the best move ever. He's like, you need a second bed.
Just have a pull-out bed underneath you. Like,
what are those called?
Here you go. A roll-out bed. I think it's called a roll-out or a pull-out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. But anyway, so...
I'm sorry, guys. Side note.
No, that's... I think that's good. But yeah, I like...
He does now if he listens to the podcast.
I know. But I don't think he does.
I really don't think so. Yeah. I hope not.
I really don't think he does. He supports it. He's very supportive of it.
He is, which is fine, but it's not the best thing for anyone to listen to.
Don't listen to her.
No.
Don't listen, people.
The person who I'm sleeping with, I don't think should listen.
Oh, yeah. I make Dan listen to these all the time.
Yeah, well, you guys are married. That's a different true. Different story there.
And we are communicators.
That's true.
We do talk.
You don't hide all your feelings under a basket and kick them under the bed and pretend they don't exist. You don't do that. I feel like that is a healthy way to live your life. Oh, I don't need to talk about that one.
I do not. No. No. And I mean, especially if like for instance, if we're having a tussle in bed where I want to get on top and there's the whole shoving the shoulder thing, like,
you know, just poke, you know, him in the shoulder.
I say, look, motherfucker, I need to get off, so let me get on top. And he's like, okay. And then I jump on top, I get it done, he gets it done, and then I'm snoring in 2 minutes.
Yeah. It's not my life. It's not the way I roll.
And that really is the beauty of it.
But there's that entire, was it 7 different love languages?
Mm-hmm, 7.
And one of them is nonverbal.
And that's the one you speak, man.
I speak nonverbal.
I'm all for it. I'm not hating, dude.
No, I know you're not hating. Totally I'm not saying hating. That you are. I'm justifying my behavior sure. So I don't have to change it.
No, I don't think you should have to change it. And you don't have to fight and explain yourself to me or to anybody listening on this podcast. Except that, I mean, you kind of do because it's our kiss and tell. But still. Anyway, I think we were able to... have great conversations about this book. We were kind of worried there about these books.
Yes. And we do plan to finish this series. When the next two are out.
We'll do it as another episode.
We will. Because I need to know what happens in Cougarville. Actually, the Cougar Fuckfest has not occurred yet, which I feel is really a big letdown.
It's getting there. No, I think that has to happen at least by the... I think it's going to happen on the fourth book. I think we're going to get another brother, and then the fourth one is going to be, it's probably going to be the triage friend.
Right? She's going to show up, right?
Okay. Yeah, because she's going to have to come look for Ivy. Someone's going to have to come, or it's going to be like the really hot, super hot blonde forest ranger that, you know, breaks her ankle tripping on a deer or something. Like, it's just... looking for these two other white women, like, that's just what is gonna happen.
They're gonna think it's a goddamn, like, Bermuda Triangle of white women. They're just keep disappearing. Four are gonna go disappearing in, like, a month.
That's all that's gonna happen. And none of them are gonna have family. They're all gonna... no, they were spinsters before.
Everyone's so weird.
Before they found their true love mate.
One was fucking engaged.
Oh, I forgot him. I keep forgetting him.
Gabriella is engaged. Is
it, well, she doesn't like him.
That doesn't mean anything. She was engaged.
That's true.
Somebody should be like, wait, what happened to her? And her brother. And the four other guys that they took with them in the helicopter. People are going to want to know what happened.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we're moving
on. We're going to find out what happens to them or that whole situation. Is it? That's how they're going to get found. The flocks are going to get found by all these people that are going to end up looking for them the last half of the fourth book.
The cougar flocks are going to be outed. All right, guys. We have our fun fuck fact now. We tried really hard to find fun fuck facts about cougars, and I didn't find any.
Yeah, if you guys Google cougars...
Don't do it! Don't do it. You will immediately regret that choice. It's a lot of mature women sex if you do that. Don't do it. You go down a bad hole.
Oh, it's awesome.
Anyway, so awesome. We're not going to talk about that. We're instead going to talk about an article that I was emailed by Greatest. They're some kind of, I don't know, I think they're a blog, but they email me periodically and I read their articles. And this one is about how long should sex last? So they surveyed a number of sex therapists. And so while not the most scientific resource or way of gathering data, they did get enough information from the sex therapist who got the information from their patients to kind of put together the general idea that 7 to 13 minutes is how long most people would like sex to last. Mm-hmm. And that does not include foreplay. So that is the length of time that people would be most satisfied with. 7 to 13. Turns out most sessions are only lasting 5, 5.5. Wah, wah, wah. So people aren't quite getting the amount of sex that they would like.
I feel like 7 to 13 is reasonable.
I think that's a really good number.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think 5 minutes is not quite there.
I feel like that might be a little bit like,
I'm okay with less than 10 minutes, like between 5 and 10. Not 5, 7 and 10.
Like sometimes even these books feed into the
all-nighters.
Idea. Yeah. And it's like, I'm going to fuck you for 15 hours. And you're like, I really don't want that.
35 orgasms.
I do not produce nearly enough lubrication for that.
No, not at all.
So, no, I think that hearing that, I feel like 7 to 13 is a real nice number, especially not including foreplay. So you should get a little extra long, you know, like foreplay in there, get everybody up and running, engines hot. I'm going to wave my hand in a circle like this. No one can see it.
We are going to have to videotape a session one day. You have to watch our body languages. Like, it's amazing. Kalina moves around a lot, so you could probably hear her shifting. But her arms are always just flying all over the place, and it's amazing. Very. It's amazing. And I probably have like the greatest facial features because I'm looking at her like, what the fuck are you doing?
Somebody said we should make it a video podcast, but
I think that was me. I said we need a YouTube channel.
I don't know. I think that a video of two people talking into a mic is boring. Even if they're animated and waving their hands. At the end of the day, it's...
Sure. No, I don't think. I think we're good the way we are.
I think so. It's better as a podcast. I think so. It's an audible visual. Audible medium, not visual. Anyway.
Right.
So, yes, we concur with the findings of the sex therapists.
Yes.
7 to 13 sounds like a nice number of minutes for sex.
Sounds beautiful to me. I have no qualms about that. All right, so should we rate our shit?
Yeah, we should rate it. Well, that's hard.
So, yeah, we're going to have to do both of them, even though they were pretty comparable. The timelines were identical, everything. The story,
The fight in the first book was better and made more sense.
Yes.
The fight in the second one was obviously shoehorned in.
It just needed a filler.
A random bear showed up just so that they'd have something to fight. But that's really the only difference.
So I'm going to give the sex in this book an 8. It was super squishy, I feel like. The sex was good. But I'm going to give the book overall a 3. And the 3 is disappointing dry hump.
Oh, that's harsh. That's some harshness. So... yeah. No, the sex was definitely an 8. Super squishy. I mean, I think... oh, it was... it was the second... like, the end sex scene of the first book. I was listening to it, 5:30 in the morning on my way into work, and I was like, this is on! Because I got real horny all of a sudden.
You're like, oh, damn.
I'm like, it is real early in the morning for the...
I'm on I-25. Yeah,
just driving along I-25 like, whoa. All right. I killed it. Your phone died. But I don't want to give it a 3. I feel like that's so sad.
3s are sad. I just don't.
Threes
I mean,
are so sad.
It was like, I didn't hate the book.
No.
It just...
if it had been that kind of dialogue and that kind of character... in a, 10-hour book, it would have been absolutely a 3.
That's true.
The fact that it was short, I think, gives it at least, it gets up to, a 4.
Sure. I mean, you know, that's a good point. I think you make a really good point there, because it was just kind of like, she had this great sex idea in her brain, and then she just had to write corresponding story to it.
Yeah, but yeah, you couldn't extend this out,
right,
and keep this this level of character non-development and weak dialogue. Yeah. And we have had a full-on book that was this week.
You're right, we have. Did it get a 3, do you know? Which one are we talking about?
I don't know, I just know what happened. I just know what happened.
No, there, I know.
There is one that I was just like, this was bad.
Let's see. Well, we hated Feral Dark Fever.
Well, we really hated Dark Fever. Let's just say it was that one. Because it could easily have been that one, and we'd have been like, yep. That one had bad dialogue, and the characters had no development.
We gave that one a 4.
So see, we can't give this one less than that.
All right. That'd
be terrible.
I'll take my 3 back. And give it a 4. That works.
Right. We agree.
That was good. Yeah, so, all right.
I would, like, overall, if you like these books, if you like romance novels, you like paranormal romance novels, I think these are good books to devote a couple hours to.
For sure.
Like, whether it is the audiobook or you pick it up, you know, in an e-format, and it's not going to take you long to read. It wouldn't take you longer than the 4 hours it took to fucking listen to it.
Right, right.
So, yes, is it going to be the best thing you've ever read? No. Is any of these books going to be the best thing you've ever read? I don't think so. But, you know, you get at least 2 really good sex scenes in both books.
You got
That's what we came for.
And they were different from each other. So, like, it wasn't just a cookie cutter
of
scenes.
Like, yeah. I was actually disappointed in the second one that it wasn't a mating. The second scene in the second book.
I thought it was. Oh, he didn't bite her?
No. Because he's not going to do that until after they get married. Oh, we didn't mention that. They're going to get married. So, because
he goes and buys her a ring and...
Yeah, it does the full on. So they're going to get married first. Yeah. And then if she still is on board for it, they'll do the full mating, which is the biting and marking.
That's right.
But I really did like Ivy and Rath.
He bit her.
He fucking flipped her over. That's also our favorite sex position. So mm-hmm. It was really good to read that.
Yeah.
And then get the neck biting. Yep. So that was hot.
That was hot. That was a good one.
So definitely just read these books.
Yeah, just read them. Read them and make fun of them like we do. You know, it's all fun and good.
If they'd taken themselves just a fucking fraction less seriously, they would have gotten
really
a lot better.
That's really all it would have taken.
Like, this isn't serious.
No.
That is why the Badger book is literally my favorite thing I've read in this podcast.
Well, and that's why, like, Charming was one of the
Charming
best books
too.
That we have, because it was so funny.
So
it was
humorous.
Such a great book. And the writing was awesome. And
end of the day, you're writing about human men who turn into cougars.
Right.
This is not serious shit.
Right.
And you're doing it so that you can write sex scenes.
Right.
Don't give us serious fucking shit. Give us humorous dialogue full of people making fun of each other. Fucking badgers tearing shit apart.
Just silliness.
That's what we want.
We need silliness.
I do giggle a lot during sex, so I think maybe I need... maybe I just need things to be silly.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah.
You know I do picture you.
Having sex?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I do. I know that sounds perverted.
No, that's fine.
It's just I have a very vivid imagination and I have a lot of shit going on in my head. And when people talk about them having sex, I think about it.
You should envision a giggler.
No, I do. I imagine your arms and legs all over the place and you're just hitting the wall and the lamp and the head post and like getting a bruise on every inch of your body. Like that's why I picture.
So fucking accurate. I'm a real spaz.
That's exciting. I think that's good. I'm very plain compared to you there. Yeah. Very plain.
All right.
But our next one is going to be a special episode.
Ooh.
It's going to be a battle cast.
We made that up.
And this will be either with or without special guests with us, probably without, since it's really hard to get people on our schedule.
No one likes us.
We're going to be reading 2 short books again. We're going to be reading Twice the Growl by Millie Taden. And we are also going to be reading A Touch of Midnight by Laura Adrian. And the battle cast is going to be book versus book. So I will be taking Twice the Growl and Kalina is going to be taking A Touch of Midnight. And we're going to pit the werewolf against the vampire. And we're just going to battle it out, dude. And we're just going to see who wins in the end. We're going to have a mediator. So there has to be at least one other person here.
Okay.
Even if they're not speaking. We are going to have a mediator. Okay. Because someone has to decide who's better. It can't be us. You're going to vote one. I'm going to vote the other.
Very true. Somebody will have to decide.
Yeah. Unless we make it a competition online and then our readers get to vote. But then we'll still have nobody.
All right. No. Yeah. So yeah, we've read quite a few vampire books and werewolf books. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we decided it'd be fun to pit them against each other.
Yeah. You know?
The two biggies of paranormal
the genre.
Mm-hmm. Those vampires v. werewolves.
Yep.
Dracula v. Wolfman.
It's going to be better. It's going to be better than the Edward versus Jacob thing. Because that was
Team Edward! Team Jacob!
It was always fucking Edward. I don't care if you were a Jacob fan. It was always Edward. Always. He was always going
to
win.
Oh, yes. He was always going to win. He sucks and it is always Team Jacob for reality. Right up until the point where he imprints on a fucking baby. And then he throws it out the fucking window and I'm like, never mind, Team Nobody. This book's terrible. Fuck you!
I just ruined Stephanie Meyer. My life! Ah!
Fuck you for making me read all fucking three of those fucking books.
Anyway, so yes, Twice the Growl and A Touch of Midnight. I am sure that there were narrators for each one of these and I didn't write those down. So
nope! We'll tell you later.
About that next time. So
you don't need to know that right now. Take what we're giving you. Yeah. Okay, so reach out to us. Social media. Shh! Dirty Books. On Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, with three H's, Dirty Books. Also on Gmail. That's it.
And you can also find us at our website, dirtybooks.com, and anywhere you would find podcasts, Google Play, iTunes,
SoundCloud.
I don't know
if we're on Stitcher.
We are not on Stitcher because we can't afford to be on Stitcher.
Don't look for Stitcher.
Well, this always happens. We say, hey, don't look us there. And by that time we post it, we're on that fucking place. So
maybe.
We may be at that time. Doubtful. But anyway, so join us there. And a quick shout out to Jim Townsend for our music in the beginning and end of all of our episodes.
Intro and outro.
Thank you for that, sir. And
all right, guys.
Closing out.
Bye.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Galena and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode with some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.